Podcast Links. I'm Victoria.
I'm Rob.
And we're Simply Us. This is episode 45. It's time to discuss Marie Kondo a little more extensively than we ever have before.
Oh, okay.
Because we've mentioned her several times over the past year and a half, but we have not talked much about her method, you know?
Yeah. I mean, are we going to go in depth with her method, or are we just going to kind of talk about her a little bit more because of things that have started this year?
That.
Oh.
We started out our year by watching Tidying Up with Marie Kondo as a family.
As a matter of fact, I even started off the new year with a little bit of cleaning, simply because I read about the fact that she had the show coming out.
Well, it's also, it was Shogatsu.
It was also Shogatsu.
Is it not actually on New Year's Day? They start it a few days earlier to ring in the new year with a clean slate. Mm-hmm. And so we've done that now for 2 years at least, where we deep clean our whole house.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just, it just made a lot of sense to watch the show after we had just cleaned things. Granted, we have decluttered, we have nothing to worry about, but still, we were like, well, let's see what this show is like, since I've read both of her books and her manga version of the book. So,
Well, I had started anyway, like I said, on, I think it was either New Year's Day or maybe even New Year's Eve, where I read a quick little article talking about the fact that the show was coming out.
Right.
And that, just that, like, inspired me to finally clean up my nightstand, which I mentioned an episode or two ago.
Yes.
And so, like, I just went right into cleaning up my nightstand, finally getting it straightened up and cleaned out. Because
it was beautiful.
Because I knew that that was one area that I always let go. I don't keep on top of it like I should. So I finally decided, you know what? It's New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, whichever of the two it was. I'm just going to go do it because, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a resolution.
Was
it
New
was
Year's
just
Eve.
Me cleaning it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was New Year's
and
Eve.
And New Year's Eve was also when I decided to go through our papers, which we don't have a lot of papers. I keep them in one place, but I have not sorted through it for a year.
You know.
So I went through all your pay stubs and everything, got rid of really old ones that I kept, which is so weird. Some of the things I found, like our original lease from 13, 14 years ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from a while ago.
And I was like, why do I still have this? This is like from the last place we lived at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't even been there for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So to have that paper was kind of like no point whatsoever.
Right. And I got rid of all our old licenses.
Yes.
And things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good to go through. So that's what I did. That's what you did.
Mm-hmm. So we did a little bit of tidying up. There wasn't really a whole lot to do around the house. Like we said, we really do keep on top of it pretty well. If anything, maybe we could have been after the boys to like go through the desk where they have some stuff.
Oh, I did say. I told them to go through
it. Oh, that's right.
It.
You did tell them to go through stuff. I remember hearing that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have a whole lot to do necessarily because we already went through our whole actual declutter process and organizing. You know, we're already past the stage of, like, putting boxes in our drawers. We already have had them in there for a while, so.
Well,
it was
actually,
just
I didn't have
a
box
bit.
In my drawer.
Well, that's true. You didn't. I have a few boxes.
I also have less in my drawer than you, so I was like, okay, well, this is kind of, some of my socks were a little too loose, and I felt like I needed to contain them more. So the show definitely helped me with that, because I did it after we watched the show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I also, after watching it, went through my nightstand with just folders I have, where because I keep things in folders, like patterns for quilts, and I went through that. Like, which ones do I think I'm not going to make? Or just a few other folders. I went through my old art, and I was like, I don't need these. I'll scan them. So I did go through papers, like I said.
Mm-hmm. Now, for anyone who might be tuning into our podcast for the first time or hasn't heard who Marie Kondo is or what KonMari is, I mean, if this is the case, you've probably been living under a rock for the last 4 years because she's gotten kind of popular, obviously, enough so that Netflix made a show about her.
Yeah.
But basically, the show was kind of one of those hoarders shows or like, you know, the house cleaning, whatever, like mess makers. I don't even know what, we don't have TV channels. So I don't know how many of these other, like, HGTV, Your House is a Mess, Let's Clean It Up For You kind of shows exist. But that's basically what the show is. Except, instead of the typical professional organizers coming into the house,
and
which
doing
I guess,
it for you, usually,
in a sense,
right?
She kind of is that. But, you know, for she the most is. Part, though, these shows are all kind of similar, as far as I'm concerned, with the way they teach you about organizing and stuff like that. Like, there's always a very similar way of doing it.
And they usually mock them a little bit, saying, like, I can't believe you have this. Like, the people that...
Like, yeah, like, Hoarders, for instance. I know that show specifically is to kind of a little bit shame people. Because, I mean, they call it Hoarders. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the show. I haven't really seen many of these, like, cleanup shows, except for, like, you know, when we used to watch, like, House Hunters and stuff.
That was a long time ago. We were, like, engaged then.
Yeah, exactly. But this show, though, focuses on specifically Marie Kondo, who is a declutter expert, and to some degree, like, an organizing expert, because I don't really think of her as an organizational professional. I really think of her more as a declutter professional.
Right.
You know, like, the organizing thing that she does is kind of just part of that, because that helps to make it easier to keep clutter out of your house by being more organized.
In her first book, which is The Magic of Tidying Up, right? It's, I can't remember the title.
Or Spark Joy, the first one.
No, Spark Joy is the second one.
Well, then, it's the something Magic of Tidying Up.
Yeah. She talks a lot about how her upbringing was and how she's always been a neat freak and always loved to organize things and get rid of stuff. So it's just in her veins to be that way.
But it's an interesting thing as you go through, for instance, reading her books or the manga, or even just to see things, for instance, the show, about how she does it, is that she takes a different perspective, in my opinion, by saying not so much that you have to get rid of a certain number of things, but that she tells you to only keep the things, generally, only keep the things that spark joy. So, like, only the things that actually bring pleasure to your life. And then, as the show kind of focused on more, which I don't remember reading as much in things I've read, but her thing about, you know, what would you want to take with you into the future?
Yeah, which is really nice to
think
about.
Yeah, that,
like, that changed a lot of the people's perspectives. I think we'll talk more about the show in a little bit.
No, I was just trying to, like, give a general thing about her.
Right, of course.
Ideology.
And so that way the people know.
Yeah.
The podcastlings.
Yes. So, as we said, she's got two books. Mm-hmm. The one was turned into a manga.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's the show. Right. And there are all kinds of things. You can check on YouTube. You can search for her.
And she also trains people to become consultants.
Yeah.
So there's a program, and, like, once a year or every 6 months, she goes to New York City, I know, and does training. And I had almost signed up to do that, but I was like, I don't want to have to go to the city.
Yeah.
And then, it's a long training, and it costs a lot of money.
Well,
and I was like,
sure.
I could help people without having to do this, because I love her method, and I have loved it. Probably because my method before hearing about her was so similar, except for her folding.
Yeah. Well, it's even like I mentioned two episodes ago, we were doing the review of the book that we were sent.
Right.
Where I said that I agree with her idea of putting everything in one pile.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I already did.
Right.
You know, without going too much into the story I already told, it just made so much sense to me when I read about her method of doing that, because it was already how I did it.
Isn't that interesting how we did things without, like, that were similar without having any inspiration? Like, I think about when we went through DVDs and how I just piled them all up and just opened each one. And I was
took
like,
the
don't
disc
need
out
this,
of the case,
don't
put
need
it in
this.
A binder.
And then recycled all of the cases and the DVDs that I didn't keep. And then recycled all the papers that were inside it. And it was like, wow. And just the other day, I showed you an old photo of our living room
from
10 years ago. And I was like, oh, look how scary this is. And it was so neat as it was. But, like, to see all the DVDs out in the open. Because after that, like, a year or two later, I put the DVDs in the closet so we couldn't see them. But we could go to them if we wanted to watch one.
Yep.
Before we went down to having our DVDs in the storage case that we have, which now we're going to probably be going through that and getting rid of all those because we have not touched DVDs.
Right. Well, we don't even have a DVD player right now.
Right. We got rid of our DVD player a few months ago.
Yeah. But yeah, I think just to kind of wrap up a quick discussion of us and her, I think the thing that was different for me, because you mentioned the folding was something right. we didn't do. For me, anytime I tried to clean, I never thought about the spark joy thing.
Right.
And I never thought about, as I said now, even from the show, I picked up on the whole, what do you want to bring into the future?
Yeah.
And what's funny to me about that even, especially hearing her say that now, was that when we were learning about downsizing and everything like that, and we were spending a lot of time talking about maybe living in a schoolie or a tiny house, you know, I started picturing, like, what stuff would I want to keep?
Right.
In a tiny house versus what stuff would not fit in a tiny house and would make it inconvenient.
Uh-huh.
You know, because like I mentioned it to you plenty of times. Like, for instance, our record collection. I had been thinking about downsizing that for a while because I said, you know, if we're living in a small house, if we're like in a 500 square foot house with right. the four of us or maybe even more children, like, do we really need to take up space
right.
for the record collection?
Which is why now we only have, like, 20 records.
Yeah, we sold off the majority of it.
Out of, like, 500 or 600 records.
Yeah, it was a bunch. But anyway, you went on to social media stuff.
I did.
And you decided to ask people about the show. Now, the one question I asked you, if you had asked them later, was whether or not any of these people had already gone through a KonMari process, or if they were just hearing about it, or right. if they had heard about it and wanted more detail.
And I felt bad I didn't ask it.
But yeah, you hadn't thought to ask that, which
I should have consulted you before asking.
I think it would have been neat to get the perspective of that, just because you told me that they're kind of polar as far as the way people felt about it. So to mm-hmm. know whether people had already gone through it or not, I think might have been a neat way to gauge why the responses were the way they were.
Right. So first off, I asked, have you seen this show yet? And I said, if you saw this show, did it inspire you?
Mm-hmm.
So off of the polls, I asked these poll questions on Instagram story and Twitter. Twitter, I didn't really get much response again, mm-hmm. but I did get some. And on Twitter, for have you seen this show yet? 33% said yes, and 67% said no. On Instagram, 41% said yes, and 59% said no. This shows you that a lot of people never heard about this show before.
Well, we also, you know, we tuned into it literally, like, the day it came out.
Right.
They literally put the show up on Netflix on January 1st.
Right.
And we watched the first episode, or two.
Three.
On January 1st. So there wasn't exactly a whole lot of time for people who aren't KonMari people to learn about the show yet.
Right.
So that maybe that's a sense we can kind of gauge a little bit about the responses based on that. Most likely, if the people have seen the show, they probably already know about her to
right.
some degree.
And it's only been a few days. It's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's the 13th right now.
Right.
We're not even two full weeks into...
And this comes out today.
Yeah, exactly.
We're behind on this recording.
Yeah.
So yeah, but that just shows that more people haven't heard about it than have.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you saw this show, did it inspire you? On Instagram, 85% said yes, 15% said no.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get a response about it on Twitter. In asking this question, I received messages as responses from several people.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how different each response was.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take turns reading some of these responses. We're going to start with Twitter. Spooky Ma said, I've watched the first couple of episodes. It seems like an interesting way to declutter, which is something their husband, they added them, but it's their full name, so I'm not going to say it. And I have been trying to start working on. Hopefully, this method will help us.
Hmm.
So they had already started to because they responded to us in the past.
At least started decluttering.
Right, because they had said that they listened to one of our episodes, the media
mm-hmm.
episode that we had.
Right.
And they redid their DVDs and stuff like mm-hmm. we had. That was the only response on Twitter I got.
Mm. Now, from Instagram, it looks like we've got three from
four.
Instagram. Four from... Oh,
no, there's
four.
More.
Oh, and there's even more on the back. All right, well, anyway. First from Instagram, @_first.drafts said, "I've seen people respond to it by throwing away tons of crap, which is just going to end up in landfills." Which, yeah.
They showed some of that on the show, too.
Yeah.
Which is upsetting, because we did a lot of recycling when we went through our own stuff, and we don't like to waste things, as we've talked about several times.
Yeah, we just talked about it, even with the book review episode, I think.
Right.
About we tried to limit what we bring in, so we can limit what we get rid of.
So obviously, that's not inspiring to see that waste. But in the show, there were many times where people went to donate things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, I mean, this doesn't say whether they were inspired or not inspired by
it. Oh, no, they said no, because I could see who responded no on the poll.
Okay.
And that person did say they weren't inspired by it, but they, yeah.
Well, yes. I just wonder, though, like, if they were not inspired because of this, or if they were not inspired because they had already done a declutter.
Right, that's a good question.
But then this is just a point that they're making about the show, that it was kind of sad to see a lot of garbage. Because there were a few times where they showed people just putting a lot of stuff in garbage cans, which...
Yeah.
Unfortunate,
and
but...
In her book, she does say that some people need to just get things out as soon as possible. But also, in Japan, they're very good about recycling, so maybe... She has to, who knows, maybe all those bags, maybe she has talks with them about their waste too. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. There are a lot of things that we don't see with the way the show was edited.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of conversations she would have had with these people that we won't know about. And that's fine. We've read, as a side note, we've read places that there is at least one village in Japan that is completely zero waste.
Which I think we've talked about maybe in an episode. If not,
I think we mentioned
we
it.
Do want to have a zero waste episode in the future.
I think I do remember mentioning the village before. So.
Yeah. From Jennifer Joanne, she said, "I liked it a lot. It made me want to clean and organize better." Well, and that's good. And
that's
I feel like that's a response from a lot of people.
Yeah. A lot of people just felt inspired and made them want to spend more time focusing on it. Next response from Instagram, LQuinn4. "I've come across her folding clothes method on YouTube a few years ago. Totally redid all my dresser drawers. I didn't know she has her own show now. How awesome."
So they had not seen the show, but now they know about it through our poll and our question.
And just knowing
who
that
is,
I can imagine that they're going to be going all out about watching the show and get all inspired.
Yes, yes.
Especially considering
she might be
life changes.
Yes. this person is pregnant. All right. FenCottage_unschool said, "I found the families relatable, endearing. It didn't inspire me per se."
Hmm.
I agree. The families were really relatable.
Yep.
I mean, there were some where I'm just like, ugh, I can't believe they're doing that. Or like, why are they, you know, so we'll talk about that later. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Because I almost started throwing in my feedback too,
right.
But we're going to save our feelings for later. All right. So I don't know how to pronounce the name. So
Bat-Yara
I'm sorry.
Hell.
I may end up completely butchering this. I apologize.
It's Hebrew. I don't know.
Batya Rahel. That's going to be my guess.
Batya Rahel.
I know I'm not saying it right. But anyway. They said, "Love this one. It's totally inspiring me to clean things out." Which is good, because that's kind of the whole point of like doing the show, I'm sure, is that Marie Kondo wanted to open her method up to people, especially people maybe who don't like to read. Because there are plenty of people out there who don't like to read, but they're fine watching TV shows.
Also, there are a lot of couch potatoes, so this might help them to get off their bums and do something.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true.
And the last from Instagram is Eccentric Side of Normal. "It inspired me to go through my son's toys."
Yeah, it's a good thing to be inspired about. Because even us, again, looking through some of the pictures this morning, separate from what you were showing me of our old living room, we were looking at pictures of our boys. And at one point, there was a picture of our one son with a whole bunch of toys in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, what in the world? We had kind of forgotten that there were that many. That, like, it was that much of a mess. Because that was actually one of the first things I think we really started cleaning, was getting rid of a lot of toys that were...
Well, what stinks is that I had already decluttered before having children, but once we had children, people kept giving us things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I don't know what to do with all this. So it just kind of piled up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, we sorted all that out.
Yep.
And honestly, I think the stuff that we saw in that picture, mm-hmm. I remember I was fed up looking at them and got rid of a whole bunch of them, like, when I got, yeah. like, close to giving birth to the mm-hmm. next child.
Well, that's what I mean about, I think that was one of the earlier things we went through.
Right.
Was that, especially at the time, he was not old enough to learn about picking up after himself.
Yeah, he was, so, like, a year and a half old.
He would, like, take the stuff off of the toy chest, throw it all over the floor, and then just go run off and let somebody else clean it up because he was a year and a half old. And, you know, we can't tell him you got to clean up. So, but anyway. We also got a couple of responses from Facebook. So Adam said, dying to go through my closet and ask, does it spark joy?
That's cool.
Which is cool.
I hope he did yeah. that since.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember that, like, when I first heard about asking that question, that hit me, like, that was like an epiphany. Like, when I read that, I was like, that makes so much sense.
But at the same time, you have issues like, I don't really feel that spark of things saying mm-hmm. like, oh, like, not all the time. It's just like, for me, it's like, is it necessary for my life or not?
Well, of course, there are things that aren't going to spark joy, but you're going to keep. But for me, to use that as a starting point for certain things, it enabled me, for instance, my musical instruments.
Mm-hmm.
It made me realize, maybe it's not so much that it made me think I'm going to declutter and ask the question every time, but it was more meta for me, that it made me think, what am I doing with my life, or what do I have in my life that maybe doesn't spark joy?
Okay.
So that was part of why, like, I was willing to kind of move on from the band I was in, and why I was kind of willing to give up my instruments,
right.
because I recognized that they didn't spark joy anymore.
Right. And with me, I don't hold things in a sentimental way.
Right.
And I feel like that's why you have to ask if it sparks joy, to see what brings you the most joy.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like, oh, I don't need this. I don't need this. Nothing sparks joy because I don't hold on to things.
Because you don't, yeah.
I'm just like, oh, I have the memory in my mind. I don't need this item. Bye.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's part of where her question comes from, like asking people, well, telling people to ask their item, does it spark joy? I think it's more for the people who are sentimental, because you figure a lot of people are sentimental.
Right.
When you watch the TV show, you saw
yeah.
a lot of people, you know, and justifiably. I'm not saying that
right.
they're, like, stupid for being sentimental.
No,
you know,
no.
like the episode with the woman whose husband passed.
Yes.
Obviously.
It was
everything
so
in that house. Everything in that house is going to be sentimental.
Yeah.
Like, because...
Especially because she said they were together 40 years.
Yeah. Now, I don't think I'm overly sentimental. So, for me, the process of asking, does it spark joy, wasn't that difficult. Because, even though I have things that would be sentimental items, I don't think that I invest a lot of sentiment in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same kind of way. I'm just that kind of person. I'm very easygoing. Things come and they go. And
I think it also...
Whatever.
Because your father is very sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
And so is your mom. Your parents are sentimental,
mm-hmm.
so, and as is my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you seeing that in your own upbringing helps you to not be that way.
Well, I think when I was younger, I was more sentimental. Like, I think I spent more time being
you
interested
were, yeah,
in...
thinking about some of the things you had when we started dating.
Yeah, well, I mean,
like,
I had...
Really?
Yeah, I had my grandfather's favorite shirt in my closet, which I would never wear because... I was a size small, and the shirt was like a large, or an extra large.
Right, and you still wouldn't
and
fit in it.
And I would never, it would still be way too big for me. But, you know, I attached, knowing that that was my grandfather's favorite shirt.
And that he had passed.
Yeah. I don't know that I even kept the shirt so much, because I knew it was his favorite shirt, and I wanted to have it to remember him. I think part of me did it for my mom.
Yeah,
that, like,
I think
I kept
so.
The shirt because I knew how much it meant to her that it was his favorite shirt.
Yes. We have since donated that shirt, by the way.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Mm-hmm. But that's just an example of how I'm not as crazy about the sentimentality as, like, my parents are, as your parents are. You know, it's... We've just both have been relatively easy in getting over that.
Right, and... Like, you used to have a shoebox for all your girlfriends. You
mm-hmm.
had one shoebox per ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were finally engaged is when you're like, you know what? You have these. You do whatever you want with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? you have all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I had to go through it, which was like, I shouldn't have even gone through it. I should have just burned it all.
Yeah, they should have just gone right in the garbage.
Because then it caused me stress.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was just, I should have just got rid of it all.
Yeah.
And I don't even think you had a box for me. Oh, wait, yes, you did. Never mind. I remember your box.
Yeah, and that's a weird thing, too, because I didn't even, like, keep those to, like, look back and, like, oh, I remember her. I miss her. Like, it wasn't even like that.
Yeah.
It was more like, just for some reason, I felt I needed a physical manifestation of where I had been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what I had been through.
Right.
Which is, like, baloney. Because thinking about it now, with the perspective we have, that was just an anchor.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, which, fortunately, as we said, while we were engaged even, I gave them to you and said, just take care of this. You know, right. I recognized early enough on, this is a really bad idea.
Yes.
But, like I said, it was a different kind of sentimentality than being sentimental about the people the boxes were put together for. It was just me and my life and my own past. But anyway, that has nothing to do with what we're doing right now.
No, but at the same time, like, I told someone recently that I used to keep a journal or a diary when I was a teenager, and that I actually ripped out all the pages and burned them because I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, there were some entries where it was just like, I bought this new CD called this. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite track from it. And that was one entry. I was like, I know that still to this day. I still have the same love. I don't need to have this to remind me of that.
Right.
Or like, I don't need to remember like what some girl did to me in middle school and mm-hmm. to read about that. I was like, this is ridiculous. Some of the things were very corny and
yeah.
And it was like, oh my goodness, this is about some boy I had a crush on. It's like, okay, this is juvenile and dumb. So I just burned it.
But
I like to burn
things. You use the word that I was going to say. You said juvenile.
Right.
And that's the thing is, I think it's fine to have journals, but when you're a teenager and all you can write about is the boy you have a crush on or the music you bought and listened to, you know, that's like not really important.
Right.
But I could say, for instance, that I know I have a journal that I did start a couple years ago, which I've gotten really lax on. I don't think I've written in it in over a year now.
Yeah.
But I know that if I was to go back right now and read some of the stuff I wrote a couple years ago, it would hurt me right now because I realized that there were things I said in there about what I wanted to do with myself that I have not done.
Mm.
You know, so, but I think that
those
things are important to keep, like, as far as the memories I have in that, because I'm hoping that that will remind me if I go back and read it. I don't know that that's worth keeping around either. That's just where we went with the discussion.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, even when we were dating, I didn't keep a journal, but I kept poems. And so many times I look at my poetry book, and I have read some of them, and I was like, this is dumb. Why do I still have this? Like, some of the poems are bad, but other ones are, like, important to me still.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like I have to go through my poems and rip out ones that don't spark joy.
Yeah. Oh, but that's the thing. And even the physical book, though, you don't even need to keep that.
No.
You could always copy, you know, either scan the pages
I'll
in or whatever,
do that, actually.
And digitize it, and then we don't need to have that.
Which is what we did with our yearbooks, too.
Yeah.
We scanned all the pieces that had pictures of us or whatever,
mm-hmm.
our entries that we wrote to each other.
Yeah.
And then I burned them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we didn't need the physical copies, the physical piece.
Right.
But I think even the digital copies, we, like, won't really need or care about in time, if we even really do now. I mean, honestly, when I think about some of the stuff that I have, I just, you know, digital copies of pictures are kind of, like, in the forefront of my mind right now, because
right.
just last week I went through and deleted, like, 1,300 pictures
yep.
from my library, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, going through some of them, I was like, honestly, why did I even keep this?
Yeah.
Like, when I took the picture, like, why do I even have this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just dumb. And honestly, in my mind, it was basically just that, you know, well, it's not taking up any physical space. It's just a digital copy of a picture.
Right.
But the reality is, you know, I have a computer with a limited amount of space in it. And if I have pictures that I don't need, it's taking up space in the computer.
We should have an episode about our digital clutter.
Yeah,
because this doesn't go in.
I know,
tidying up
we're just talking
Marie Kondo,
about.
But it does make a lot of sense for maybe we'll talk about that next time if you've got questions.
Yeah, I mean, we'll pose that. We'll say that right now. If anybody has any questions about dealing with digital clutter, you know, ask.
Because that's basically what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Which we don't have a lot of digital clutter either, but we're going through, like, both of us have been starting to go through that stuff this past week.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get back on track.
We have one more Facebook comment.
Yes, get back on track with this.
From Rebecca about the show, she said, I love it. It's helped me a lot as I have gone through my whole sock drawer and decluttered so that the drawer can now actually close. That's a win in my book. I have gotten rid of a lot of my closet and keep my favorite pieces. I love how we can figure out how to get rid of things that don't serve us well and keep things in our lives that add joy to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well said.
Definitely. I don't really have anything else to add to that because that's just...
Well, in our closet, you have a suit.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I have...
You have your kilt and your suit.
I had two button-up shirts that I had in there, but just recently I got rid of them because they're small and... Yeah. I really don't think that I will ever fit into them again, you know, and I don't ever wear them. I wouldn't even ever try to wear them, even if they fit. I mean, maybe if they fit, maybe I would. I don't know. But they don't fit into my life uniform thing anyway.
They don't go into your future.
Yeah, they're definitely not something coming into
and
my future.
And while I don't have a lot in our closet either, like my stuff, really the only thing that's in our closet right now are homeschool books. That I'm reading to the boys.
Right.
And just other homeschool items. And it doesn't even take up much room. And then we have empty shelves the rest of the way.
Yeah. Well, there are a couple things at the bottom of it. We have, like, the laundry basket. Obviously,
well,
that doesn't really relate to this.
That's where we put
this.
Our dirty laundry.
Yeah.
And then I have my sewing machine in there.
Yeah, there are a couple things, but it's not... The point is, it's nothing like what the closets in the show started out as.
Right. And the sewing machine I use.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I mentioned in another episode about how maybe I should get rid of the old sewing machine I used to have that I kept in the closet. That's gone.
I was going to say, and you just donated.
I just got rid of it last week. Mm-hmm. Or no, the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I still do this thing. That was basically the only thing left.
Mm-hmm. Now, though... We got through everybody else's feedback.
Yes, now we could continue
so
with us.
So let's talk about our feedback. Hopefully not take too long.
Okay. So, do you have a favorite episode from it?
That's a good question. I didn't even think about that, whether there was a favorite one or not.
I really love the first episode the most, I think.
I like the first episode, except for the couple. They were driving me insane. But...
Oh, because of how they acted with each other.
Hey, babe.
Many times.
Babe. Like, that was driving me nuts. The Widow was probably my favorite, actually. Because I think she used it for the purpose that Marie Kondo intended it.
That's very true. She really did. She worked hard.
Yeah. Well, that's not, and I'm saying the fact that, like, she did it because she recognized how much of the stuff that she had wasn't sparking joy. Like, maybe she didn't call it that when she started. But, you know, she recognized that there was a lot of weight in her life because of all the stuff, and she wanted to do something about that. She wanted to be able to move on, go into her future.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I think for that, I think I would say that was probably my favorite. Is
I feel that was a lot of people's favorites, because people that I talked to in person, they brought that episode up a lot, because... Mm-hmm. So many people lately have been like, oh, did you see the show? And I'm like, yep. They're like, oh, I should have known.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But other than that, I guess I'll just leave it at that. That I think that one was my favorite just because I think it embodied her purpose for developing her method better than the other ones did.
I think the episode I had the hardest time with was the one married couple that they were trying to have maybe a third child. And... Mm-hmm. They had two already, and the woman was, like, not really trying at all. And she was like, oh, no, I want to keep that. She wanted to keep everything.
Oh, yeah.
And that really drove me crazy.
Yeah, that one was
like,
nuts.
You want to declutter, but you're not willing to get rid of anything because you want to keep that. And like, oh, well, I might need this. It's like, it's been in your garage for all these years.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think in general... Well, before I say anything else, which one was your favorite?
Oh, I already said the first one.
Oh, that's right.
First episode.
That's right. Never mind. I think, in general, for the show, I liked it a lot because, as other people have said, between, like, Reddit, I read, you know, people commenting on Reddit.
And I was part of this one Facebook group that's Minimalist Moms that I'm in. So if anyone's a mom and wants to join, I actually am never really on Facebook, but this week I decided, let me check some of the things on this group. And that was the big topic, the show.
Yeah, the one of the main things that I was reading from people's comments was that these families, these people, except for maybe the first couple, they were more genuine than a lot of these shows seem to be. Like, for instance, even the couple in the first episode,
they were very like, honest, I thought.
They, well, that's what I'm saying, is that as much as they seemed very hammy, like, I'm saying hammy in the sense that, like, it was kind of cheesy sometimes. Like, yeah. I said, with the babe thing, calling each other babe.
Right.
And some of the ways that they, like, talked to each other when they were, like, on the couch doing the interview thing felt kind of canny.
Uh-huh.
Like, it didn't feel as genuine. But there were other times where you could actually see them kind of butting heads a little bit during the process. And just some of the ways that they interacted, I felt it was a little bit more, it felt at least a little more genuine than a lot of shows that I have seen are like.
Well, I even think about the one episode with the pregnant couple and how the guy that had all his shoes and how, like, it was very, very hard for him to go through clothes and shoes and to see, like, his face when he's, like at a loss of what to do.
Yep.
And then finally when she said, like, what will you bring into your future with you now that you're going to be having a son and, you know, so, like, so all of a sudden he's like, oh yeah. And then it became easy for him. And just to see that change, it's like, wow.
Yeah. Well, like Marie Kondo says, you know, everybody has an aha moment.
Right.
And I think that that, as we mentioned earlier.
No, Joshua Becker says everyone has an aha moment.
Marie Kondo said it in the show too at one point.
No,
she said something kind of triggers it for people.
Right, triggers, but the aha moment comes from Joshua Becker, which we mentioned two episodes ago.
Tomato, tomato. But anyway. But the other thing that was interesting about watching some of the episodes where, for instance, the Japanese couple, I can't think of their last name, where, you know, the show started out, or the episode.
That was a good episode, too.
That was really
good. I liked that one.
The episode started out where, you know, the mom, the wife is all like, yeah, you know, our kids are all, we're empty nesters now. The kids moved out. We want to do this. We want to do that. And he's, and they ask, well, what do you think, to the husband? And
he's like, well, happy wife, happy life.
And he's like, I don't really care. And even for the first, like, few minutes after that, you can see that he's like, whatever. He's like, not really caring. But then all of a sudden at one point, it, like, clicked for him.
Yeah.
And he was like, wait, this is actually a lot of fun.
He did a really good job, too.
And all of a sudden, he went from this guy who didn't care to all of a sudden, he looked to be the guy that was doing more of the work. Like,
you know,
he was
really good about that episode, too, is that in decluttering, they found things that they thought, this is actually going to bring me a lot of joy. Like, he found stuff about his grandfather or his father. His father that
I think his father.
His father from an internment camp, a journal. That's, like, a historical document about history right there.
Exactly.
That is attached to your own family that, like, no one could say that, really. Yeah.
Well,
like,
even the old, they found old set Japanese silk prints.
And, you know, and then the dolls that they found and they didn't know they had.
Yeah.
But, like, they really, they started to, like, find their own history because you could see, like, they were very American at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they started to enjoy their background from
their
culture.
Yeah, they kind of embraced the heritage a little bit differently.
Yeah, so that was neat.
Mm-hmm. But I think without making it sound like we're knocking the show, I think we've expressed that we enjoyed the show.
Yeah, we enjoyed the show.
But
now there are some downsides, which a person on the Minimalist Moms group pointed something out to us. Well, because I shared it with
pointed out in general, like to the public.
Right. And that was that in every episode, they constantly would show Marie Kondo and her translator coming into the door and they going, hi, hi, with a long greeting. Mm-hmm. And they did it several times per episode. We counted four or five times one episode.
There was one episode, it was like five or six.
Right. And so we're like, here we go again. So then I started thinking about it. Like, I didn't think about it till she mentioned it. I was like, wow. So that was the one downside about the show. It's like they wasted some time.
Yeah, there was, that. I mean, the one episode where there were five or six of them, that was probably a good, like, 10 minutes worth of the episode.
Right.
So it was just frustrating to see almost, like, a third of the episode kind of devoted to to that. I would have preferred to see them spend more time with each family. You know, I'll just call it family. That just makes it easier. With each group of people or person, whatever, they'd spend more time going all the different steps with each client. I'll say it that way. Because, you know, like the first episode, I think they skipped papers and...
Oh, right.
You know, there were papers and books or something like that.
They definitely didn't do books.
And I think the first four episodes, they didn't talk about books at all.
Right.
Now, maybe it's just because those people didn't have a lot of books, so they didn't really need to show it. But still, the point is that the... You know, I know papers, everybody has papers.
Oh, yeah.
So you would think that every family or every client had papers to go through. But it wasn't talked about until the fourth or fifth
episode.
And
I don't think they really showed enough of it. Like, she did have one segment where she said, this is what you do with your papers. But, like, to show the families go through it.
Right.
And they didn't really do enough of that. They showed the pictures, but not enough of the papers.
Right.
Of, like, documents or whatever. And saying, like, oh, what about this? I might need this. Like, you didn't see much of that.
Right, right. But I think because of the way the show was structured, and the fact that we had already been through our whole process, I think for me, the show wasn't really an inspiration in the sense of like, oh, wow, like I'm going to go and do all of this because, you know, we already spent the last few years
and the few days
doing it
before watching it.
Right. And yeah, exactly. Like the day before, we had just done a bunch of cleaning. We didn't really have anything to be inspired about, except, like you said, you went through your socks and stuff and took a shoebox that we had just gotten.
I didn't go through my socks. I just got a box.
Well, you got
them.
A box and put it in the drawer and did her thing with them.
Right.
But in general, I think we were more in the camp of it was all right. You know, like we didn't fall in love with the show. We weren't like amazed by it. You know, but we also weren't let down to some ridiculous degree or anything.
But we're really glad that it's out because of the fact that it can inspire people and has been inspiring people that maybe never even thought about what they can do, but at the same time might want to get rid of their things and don't know where to start. So I think that that's a good push. But also, I feel it solidified what we've done and made me glad. And watching it with the boys, especially, to see their responses while watching, like, what? Look at all those toys. Why do these kids have so many toys?
Yep. And because they were too young to kind of remember how much they had before we really started cleaning. So, you know, they've never had the perspective of a room being that full of stuff. You know, or even their room compared to, you know, there were a couple different families. There was at least one family that had the two kids. And they had so much stuff that it was like, my word. Like, our sons never had to experience having that much stuff. Because we made the point to, you know, downsize a lot of their possessions before they were old enough to realize it.
Right.
So it was neat, though, to just see them reacting to these other people with their stuff. And to see how the place goes from looking one way to looking another way.
Right.
Because even when we lived in our old apartment, before we started doing any of our minimizing, you know, Lado was too small to have any idea.
Right.
Like, he was, like, months old. And even when we came here, what amount of clutter we had, I'm putting up air quotes, was, like, nothing compared to anybody in this show.
Right.
So they have been somewhat spoiled by having a relatively clutter-free house.
Yep.
You know, compared to a lot of people.
Like
So it was just interesting to let them kind of see it without, you know, having to be in their face about it or whatever.
I feel another thing that was brought up when we both were looking on these subreddits or groups is that people that are minimalists, they're like half those who loved it and half those that didn't love it. And the half that didn't love it were like, well, you know, this isn't minimalism. She never said she's a minimalist or whatever. And there was one person I said, well, you know, like in her background, her culture doesn't really believe in having much. It's like part of their culture. And our culture is very different. American culture is like, I have money, let me have stuff and fill my home with things that make me happy. And so I feel like that's like a huge difference for like that people don't understand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was even just an interesting talking point that I saw on Reddit was that people were saying, oh, but she's not even minimalist. And like you said, she never even claimed to be. But it was just interesting how... I guess the point is that it was very polarized. Like, the response I saw on Reddit was that people either, like, loved the show and they were really inspired, or people were like, this is really kind of dumb, actually. And I couldn't help but think, like, you think it's dumb because you've done it already.
Right.
You know, like, you're not being sensitive to people who are new to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was just interesting because, unfortunately, with people who are minimalists or have already done a lot of cleaning and they live a minimalist lifestyle, they seem to be very snooty about it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's frustrating. So it just kind of, I mean, it actually turned me off a little bit from the KonMari subreddit. I actually even unsubscribed.
Wow.
Just because over the last, like, week and a half, all that I've seen on there was people talking about the show.
The positive things that I saw in the group that I went to, a lot of the moms were saying, oh, yeah, while watching, I grabbed all my clothes that I had and I started going through it while watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they might have started to downsize already, because a lot of the moms in there are just starting to become minimalists.
Right.
Is that, you know, it sparked the idea in them to keep going and to
mm-hmm.
do it again. And like we've said, we're always going through things
yep.
on a regular basis because we don't want to end up having more things to have to go through in general. Like,
right, well, we don't want to get lazy about it. We don't want to get complacent about
it. And our interests and our hobbies might change over time. And if you're just like, oh, well, maybe I'll go back to it. It's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for the month of December and January, I tend to not quilt at all. And I put my sewing machine away. But I'm going to start actually next week because I'm getting the craving again to do it. But I
yeah.
always take like 3 or 4 months off before I go full throttle. And so now I'm just like, oh, now I want to do stuff. Because I feel like lately, like cleaning is part of my hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
But lately it's like, okay, well, I already wrote 3 letters today and I already cleaned and the boys are occupying themselves. What else can I do today? And I was like, well, I really should start another quilt. But I was like, but it's January. I don't do that. And so then I said, you know what? I'm going to start.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? January, we're going to change it up this month.
There you go.
If anyone else has maybe some sort of story about what this show means to you or what you didn't like about it or whatever, continue to comment, send us messages, and so on.
Yeah, it would be neat to just get more feedback. Not that we're at all related to the show.
Right.
But just...
And we're glad about the feedback we got.
Yeah.
So thank you.
I think in general, we just get inspired by hearing about other people being inspired.
Right.
So.
And it excites us because we
yeah.
love. What was it? Real quick. We watched the Jordan Taylor episode on YouTube
mm-hmm.
where he and his wife are going through this book to see how compatible they are as a couple.
Yeah.
And they have like this book they go through and they have to choose one or two. And the two of us were doing it like while they were doing
yeah,
it. They didn't
do
every single one.
Yeah.
But like we found that we were both choosing like the neater things,
yes.
like the more clean and less clean.
They had like
things.
A made bed versus a not made bed.
Right.
Stuff like that. And yeah, we both
and
kept
so we're
going
like, oh!
towards the clean.
Like
one.
Every time we would see something that was like messy, we're like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was cute because we're like, oh, we're definitely soulmates that we both you know, feel this way. And it's
yeah.
not like you were always neat at all. So
nope.
it's like, this is how you've become. While I've always, okay, not always. I take that back. I was not always neat for
yeah, me no,
because my brothers bring up to me how when I was real little, I was a stinky, messy, smelly frog girl.
Mm-hmm.
Where I had all my frogs and they yeah. said it was stinky and that like I just didn't take good care of my room.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I became, I'd say, like, I remember being, like, 8 years old and waking up in the middle of the night and just starting to clean my room, and I wanted it spotless.
The funny thing about it is that's even kind of what Marie Kondo said.
I know.
That she, when she was really, really little, she didn't care.
Right.
But when she
was
8 or 9 years old, it snapped, and she
right.
just suddenly
And that was
did
the
this.
Year that my oldest brother went to college, too, so he doesn't really remember that transition of
right.
me because he didn't really pay attention once he came home from college or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's why I've mentioned when he came to our house for the first time, years later.
Yeah.
And he was like expecting it to be a pig pen or whatever. And he was like, what?
Like, what?
And he was in shock. He's like, yeah, I've been a neat freak for years and years and years. And he's always been a neat freak.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he was surprised. My brother's also a minimalist now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he'll even say like, oh yeah, because we're minimalists. So it's cute to see.
Yeah.
How people do change. But for the most part, I've been a neat freak most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And while you were not, and how you've grown.
Well, so people as we said, change. There have been little things over the years that you could see, like, hints of where it could be there. But, yeah, for the most part, I was not. You know, I would come home, and when I would change, I would throw my clothes on my couch in my bedroom. I did not.
It was horrible. I hated seeing that. And I was like, can't you put things away?
Yeah.
And sometimes you still do that. And I'm like, I give you the look.
It's like, nothing like I used to be, though. Don't
it's true.
It's nothing
You're
like
right.
that.
You're right. But I don't pile up
multiple days worth of clothes anymore.
Oh, yeah. That
Most
was
I do is I come home at the end of a work day and I'll change out and I'll throw my work clothes on the floor next to the bed.
But then I give you the look.
And yeah, or I pick it up on my own sometimes, too.
Yeah, I know. Because it's like, really? You can't step, like, three more paces and put it in the dirty laundry?
That's not even the point.
But that's the most mess that you are.
Right. So, yeah. Feedback. simply-us.net. Let us know if you've seen it. If you liked it. If this is the first place you heard about it. I kind of doubt that. But, you know, whatever. Also, if you have done any kind of decluttering or minimizing. You know, if you've just started learning about it. We love feedback. We love hearing about people. As we said, it inspires us.
Please leave a review on iTunes for us, because we have 8 people have given us 5-star reviews, and we have like 4 written reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And considering we've been around for getting close to 2 years now, it would be really great to have a few more. Been around for almost 2 years and have only 8 people that have reviewed.
That's all right. The ones that listen, we know they love us.
Yes, and there are a lot of people that tell me that they listen. So I know you're there. Maybe you don't have iTunes, and that's the issue. But if you could just try to sign up to iTunes just to leave a review, that would be cool, too.
Man, that's really asking a lot.
Anyway, the sun is setting here. Rob's got to edit this real fast because it has to go up soon. So goodbye.
Bye-bye. I don't think I'm super sentimental either. You doing that because I said super? Or
yes.
Just... Now, I don't believe that I'm overly super mental. Super.
Try it again.
I tried to say it without super, and I was working so hard to not say super that I said super in a place it doesn't belong. I'm not overly super mental. I'm just mostly mental.